With Jimmy Himes, I'm John Wilkerson, and we have made it to hour number three of the program, and we're here at Harper Volkswagen, and it's very easy to get to, Jimmy, and folks should come on out as they've got great deals, and they have a wonderful selection.
Well, it is, and if you're on the interstate, which a lot of people wish they weren't, if you would exit, there are a couple of different ways to get here, but if you exit at Cedar Bluff, you could go down to Kingston Pike, turn right, go a little more than a mile. It's kind of across the street from Franklin Square. You could also hit Kingston Pike from Pellissippi. And if you do that, you would then head east, go maybe about a mile, and you'll see us here as well.
That's right. ShopTheCars.com Family Car of the Year award-winning 2021 Volkswagen Atlas here at Harper Volkswagen. And, of course, time now for the Pigskin Panel brought to you by Phoenix Conversions, East Tennessee's truck accessory superstore, when it has to be the best, Phoenix Conversions.
And our guest, John Pennington, with The Sports Source. John, what can we look forward to this Sunday?
Oh, it's going to be a fun one. We'll have a couple of former Lane Kiffin Vols there to break down the Tennessee Ole Miss game, which hopefully will have concluded by the time we start on Sunday morning. I have a feeling this one's going to go to midnight. But we'll be breaking down the Tennessee Ole Miss game, the Kiffin versus Heupel story. This is going to be a fun one, I think. So should be a really fun show Sunday morning. 90 minutes on WATE TV6, and there are, with Marlon Walls now joining the team, there's nine of us every Sunday morning. So you're going to get network-level size at least.
And we're joined also by VFL Daniel Hood, who played for Lane Kiffin at Tennessee. Daniel, how are you?
Doing great. Appreciate you coming out. And, of course, can't wait to join John on Sunday as well. It's going to be fun. Hopefully I can pull out the Chucky C-Note Casino win.
Yep.
take over the
That's a tough competition there.
I'm hanging on to top place with my fingernails at this point.
Lane Kiffin said that Tennessee should be a top 25 team. He said he voted them in his coaches poll top 25. John Pennington, do you think Tennessee should be in the top 25 right now?
No, that's what opposing coaches do. I think if they had beaten Pittsburgh, they should be top 25. I think they would be top 25. But you didn't beat Pittsburgh, and you didn't look good in losing to Pittsburgh, because it was a completely self-inflicted defeat when you look at the turnovers and penalties. That said, that's not a knock to say they're not top 25. They're far better in whatever ranking you want to use than I would have anticipated going into the season. But I think that's just coachmanship on Kiffin's part to say that. I'm surprised he didn't rank them number one. Just he's such an outlandish character.
Daniel, if Tennessee beats Ole Miss, do they get into the top 25?
I think they would. I think they might even be top 20 with kind of where their offensive numbers have been and where the defense has improved. With what they have to do to beat Ole Miss, I think you got to have a top 20 performance. And I think you go back to with where Kentucky's at, with how much they beat South Carolina, with how much they beat Missouri by, and Tennessee did that by 63 points. I think the previous few weeks makes a good case for Tennessee to earn the right to go in there. Not that it means anything, but
right at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything unless you can finish the season with it. But
yeah, you'll be right back out after the Alabama game, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but still,
yeah, I think
so. You can sell it to recruits.
Yeah.
Probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're in a much better position than I think most of us would have anticipated at this point in terms of having a team that's this close to being ranked. Even those who thought, well, these were 50-50 games, Jimmy, and this could be a 6-6 year or even a 7. The way they've done it the last couple of weeks and the role they're on, I don't think many people foresaw this. So I would also say that not only if they beat Ole Miss, but toss in the fact that Ole Miss is top 15 in the country and Lane Kiffin's a genius. I mean, that's all I hear is what a genius he is, and he's the greatest coach in the history of man. If Tennessee can beat him, then heck, then I'll vote him number one if I have a vote.
Daniel Hood, is Lane Kiffin a genius?
I don't know if I would go as far to say that. He may be a great marketing guy. He's definitely figured that out.
He's a marketing genius. Yeah.
But must be, because he's definitely got us talking about it all the time. I do think what Lane Kiffin's biggest attribute is his relationship with the players. Obviously, is one of the reasons I came to UT, and he's able to instill that pride in you and instill a little bit of confidence and honestly a little bit of arrogance too. And his teams play with that. He teaches the kids that, which kids coming out of high school don't always have that, and you can see that with some of the coaches that we had issues with. It really came from a lack of confidence. They didn't know what to do. That was us under Dooley big time. I mean, that's why Dooley made his "Where's Rommel" statement, Because we were like, Coach, tell us, what do we need to do? And you need to have someone that builds up that confidence that makes you believe that you earned the right to play there. And that's Kiffin's biggest attribute, I think.
Well, at least Dooley taught you guys how to take a shower.
Yes, that's right.
I do want to ask you this about Kiffin. And I do think he's a very good offensive mind, but I'm not sure he's a very good head coach yet. If Kiffin had stayed at Tennessee, what would the next decade have looked like if he had been Tennessee's coach? And I know that's conjecture, but – Daniel, what do you think would happen?
I honestly believe he would have won you a national championship and then got fired for some type of off-the-field issue. I think everyone knows about the Lexus incident, sliding off the road now, and, of course, the divorce that he had with Layla and things like that. But with the way that he had momentum playing, the way that he had our guys playing, it was a different vibe that I ever had throughout the rest of my career. I honestly think that he would have probably maybe at least had you in contention for it. But some type of off-the-field issue would have caused him to – Tennessee would have had to make a decision to fire him.
John Pennington, what do you think?
I think that it says a lot about Lane Kiffin that guys like Daniel Hood and Marlon Walls believe they would have won and won big if he'd stayed. They were in the locker room with him, so they would be closer to it than certainly I am. But I don't think it would have been that great. I keep waiting. Everyone keeps saying, well, he's matured now. Okay, where's the evidence? Aside from wanting to say that, where has anyone seen any evidence of that? He hasn't. Last week was the first time he's beaten a team with a winning record since arriving at Ole Miss. Last year, so many people credit him with just an incredible job. They went 4-5. In the SEC.
Oh.
You know, so I'm just not wowed by what I've seen so far. He continues to do, you know, it gets tons of publicity when you're kind of disrespectful to a sideline reporter and you throw your headphones off and say, get your popcorn. Yes, that's great, and I'm sure recruits love it. Oh, he's cool. It's like world wrestling. Yeah, it's not how you run a program. If he wins the SEC or even the West at some point, I have no problem getting on my knees and praising him. Hurrah, you've done it. You've arrived. You've achieved what I didn't think you could achieve. But I'm not going to do any of that stuff, like some people do, before he actually wins something. I read a long piece in The Athletic where he was talking about all the things that went, you know, I was 10-2 at USC. Well, yeah, and then it fell off. And he talks about, well, the NCAA stuff. True, but, you know, Steve Spurrier would have survived that. People look at him, and I think there's a lot of comparison to Spurrier because Spurrier had a brash mouth, whereas Lane has a brash set of thumbs for Twitter. But Spurrier, by this point in his career, he'd won at Duke. He'd won at Florida. He would eventually go to South Carolina and win there. I've not seen that. I've seen him win at FAU. Somebody the other day told me, well, you look at what he did at Alabama. Name me a coordinator that's been with Nick Saban for any time that hasn't won a national championship with Nick Saban. I think that has more to do with Saban than the long spinning door of coordinators down there. So I don't know that it would have been great. I mean, I look back at that season when they went 7-6 here. That was the best roster anybody's had since Fulmer. Maybe Butch when he had the – before it went off the rails, he had a pretty good squad.
2015 or so.
Right, yeah. Right. But when he was starting that 11-game win streak. But that was a decent roster. A lot of those guys wound up in the NFL. It was the last good offensive line that anyone inherited here. Went 7-6, beat Georgia. That's great. Got absolutely clobbered by Ole Miss. Not great. Didn't
bowl game got beat pretty bad.
Exactly. Didn't button it down at the bowl game. Daniel, I'm not going to ask you to go into those stories.
Oh, I got plenty of that.
Yeah, I know you do. I don't think those are for broadcast. But, I mean, it's that kind of thing that I just don't think he was buttoned down then. I don't think he's buttoned down now. Now, he may kick Tennessee off the field tomorrow. He should. He's got a head start on Heupel. He's got a better roster. Top 15, and the genius thing. But I just don't think he's buttoned down or maybe even wired to run a program. Could be wrong. We'll see. But he doesn't strike me. If I were an AD, he would not be on my hiring list.
John Wilkerson, so if Kiffin had stayed here for the next 10 years, would – there have been a whole lot of popcorn celebrations.
I think there would have been some, but I also think that there would also have been, okay, what are we eligible for this year and what are the penalties? Because I just think that you already saw not necessarily the groundwork being laid, but you saw where there were going to be areas of difficulty and or concern. And again, who knows? Maybe he hits his stride and goes on. But, I mean, there were some – he allowed himself to be so distracted by so many things that had nothing to do with football and running the Tennessee program. Mm-hmm. So I think there might have been pockets of on-field success where it was like, yay, but I also think that there would have been difficulty off the field because I just don't think he was locked in on coaching Tennessee.
Let me interrupt just to say, perfect example of that was just last week. Michael Wilbon says some stuff about, calls him a clown on television. So does Kiffin, like any other coach, just roll on? Oh, no. He's got to tweet at Michael Wilbon. He's got to take shots at him. And, of course, no, since he tweets himself and doesn't let anyone with, you know, any kind of grammatical background read it, it's run-on sentences and things that aren't correctly capitalized. And we all do it on Twitter. But if you're going to be, if that's how you're going to relate to the world, you're saying, I'm not paying attention to my football program. I'm mad at Michael Wilbon, and I'm going to throw out a tweet real fast, real quick, and I'm not going to check it.
I wish people could have seen that.
Yes, I'm sitting here throwing my fingers around.
It's a frenzy.
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't have eaten popcorn in that.
So if you're doing that, again, where's the, well, he's matured? How many do you think Nick Saban would tweet back at Michael Wilbon? I do not. I think he'd grumble in his press conference, but I don't think he'd tweet back at this guy.
Daniel, did you think that Kiffin was mature when he was coaching you, or did you care?
That's a good question. The only thing really cared about is if he really cared about us and if we were getting better. And just really more that how he made you feel as a player. You know, and honestly, what we honestly loved when he was started talking crap to reporters, when he was talking stuff to everyone else, I'll never forget. The only pregame speech I think I even remember from this day was Kiffin before UCLA, where he made this little locked-in joke. He's like, they're not going anywhere. We locked the expletive gate and had made kind of a side comment about playing really hard, and they had UCLA had a new quarterback at that time, and we wanted Eric Berry to have a big hit against him. And then, sure, Eric Berry or someone does breaks the quarterback's jaw or something. They get out of there with the win.
Yes, but that's kind of the – yeah, and Tennessee loses.
But I'll never forget that game and that speech and just how he had those guys ready to go. And then the fourth quarter circle drills, when he knew we were down – boom, we were jumping up, ready to go. And that was also a team that he had made a wrong hire with Black Iron, the strength coach. And I say that name because that's how he introduced himself to me. I think his name was actually Coach Smith, but who he ended up having to fire in May of that year, that had even Eric Berry quit the Tennessee football team. And when that happened is when they fired Coach Smith, brought Eric Berry back. That's when they brought in Coach Osmus. So he
didn't know Berry. Yeah, quit the team.
Yeah, he had actually walked off the team. Had a conversation with Kiffin because Black Iron was doing some crazy stuff.
Wow.
Some absolutely crazy. Like, we're talking about like hours of up downs after running sprints, and so yeah. Kiffin made a decision to get rid of that hire, bring in Coach Osmus, and do some other things. And so there's a balance. There's an accountability, and there's definitely a childish side that he shouldn't have. Like, we're in the hotel before a game, and, of course, he's going out on the town. And so there was a balance. Some of us was like, man, we actually have to compete with our coach for for girlfriends in college.
Okay. When we come back.
Like I said, national championship, eventually fired.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about what's the best thing Josh Heupel has done as Tennessee's head coach thus far.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson, still trying to process. It is Sports Talk today here at Harper Volkswagen, and this is the Pigskin Panel brought to you by Phoenix Conversions. This is the Pigskin Panel as it continues, brought to you by Phoenix Conversions.
And our guests, VFL Daniel Hood and John Pennington with the Sports Source. What's the best thing Josh Heupel's done as Tennessee's head coach? A lot of things to choose from, up-tempo offense, play calling, maybe relationship with players, developing Hendon Hooker. Daniel Hood, what do you think is the best thing you have seen out of Josh Heupel?
This is something I was telling you off air. I've never felt in my lifetime a more solidified positive movement for Tennessee football. And maybe it comes out of where we're coming out of the worst thing, but in terms of the AD doing the right things. They're doing the right things on Twitter. The fans are motivated for the games. Players are going, we don't even have a quarterback controversy. We don't really have an offensive line controversy. We don't have a defensive line. And it's just in really my lifetime of when I can remember things, I can't think of a time there's been more positive momentum and there not be some Achilles heel, not some bar incident, not something crazy happening. You know, and I don't know what it is, but I think that movement, there's just something about it, and I just want to jump in it and stay in it. Just drink the river of orange right there.
There were a couple of players that got out of line early, and he kicked them off the team.
Right, right.
Maybe that was a pretty good message. John Pennington.
So far, the reason I thought this team would struggle was if you got into your depth issues, because you lost so many guys, and they've gotten into those depth issues earlier in the season than I anticipated. And he's coached around it. Now, I can't say that I'm shocked on the offensive side of it, because he's done that elsewhere. I should have known. Doesn't matter if he loses three offensive linemen. He didn't have great offensive linemen at Missouri, and he put up incredible yardage. But the fact that he's done what he's done on defense has been the biggest surprise, most impressive thing to me, because just turning them loose and making them more aggressive. I mean, they're now tops in the SEC in tackles for loss, top five in the nation in tackles for loss.
Yep.
Who saw that coming? I did not see that coming. There isn't a world of pro prospects on that defensive line and the linebacker crew right now. And granted, look, the next 2-3 weeks, it's going to get rough. It's going to get rough, yeah. and the view on some of these things is going to be tweaked and going to change when the defense doesn't look as good and when your offense gets shut down by, you know, somebody like Georgia who shuts down everybody. But to date, the fact that he has coached around a roster that was depleted, a roster that lacked a lot of star power in terms of just pro prospects, I think that is the most impressive thing, and it makes me feel better about the future, certainly on offense, because I think if you had had Hooker starting the whole time, or if you had a better quarterback, you're 5-1 right now, and you gave Florida a game. I think they're going to be able to put up points. I see no reason to think that they're not going to moving down the road, and I think that, you know, that's half a leg up on the competition moving forward. So I'm like Daniel. I'm kind of positive at the moment, and we'll see how much of the positivity remains after Alabama and Georgia and maybe even tomorrow. But I just think they're further along than I anticipated them being, and it's not just luck. It's not just this ball bounced your way. It's a lot of coaching, a lot of scheming. I'm impressed, got to say it.
We play it one game at a time here at the Rock, so we're not going to head that way. John Wilkerson, what's the most impressive thing you've seen out of Josh Heupel?
Well, I can't help but say that as John was listing it out and as Daniel was going through his list, it's kind of like Curly from City Slickers. Day ain't over yet. But at the same time, I am confident that there is an expectation, and so to go on a different path, because I agree with what Daniel said, I agree with what John has said, but just to take a different tack, I'm going to say the best thing that Josh Heupel has done is assemble the staff that he did.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was making a mistake. I thought it made so much sense to have Kevin Steele be a part of it, but he was looking for something specific, and I think that when you look at what the defense has done thus far, I think he's got an idea in his mind, what he wants his coaches to be, and I just think that everybody on that staff has contributed because they've got their guys ready to play, and they're getting a lot out of the players they inherited.
And to take it in a different angle, because I agree with all of that, the relationship with the players. I think that there have been so many coaches that they've had to deal with through the years to get them to buy in. I think that took a lot of effort on his part. He saw it. He met with them. He said, what do you need? What do you want? And I think that he has delivered that. So I think that has allowed him to do a lot of the other things that they've been able to do at this point. When we come back, we'll talk about Hendon Hooker, the job he has done at quarterback, and if he is going to be able to lead Tennessee to better than a 6-6 record.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guests on the Pigskin panel, TV's John Pennington and VFL Daniel Hood. It's brought to you by Phoenix Conversions, East Tennessee's truck accessory superstore. When it has to be the best, Phoenix Conversions. Today we're at Harper Volkswagen on Kingston Pike.
Our guest, John Pennington, with the Sports Source, VFL Daniel Hood. Daniel, is Hendon Hooker playing well enough for Tennessee to get to 7 wins this year?
I mean, I think so. And I think eight's not out of the question. I may be the only person that don't have a lot of respect for Kentucky. But his play's been incredible. It's can you keep him healthy, and can you get a few more guys to just step up to help overcome some of the injuries that you're having? You got to have a good second back. So if Tyon Evans is going to be hurt, Whitehead needs to pick it up, needs to pick up a few more moves, which really happens in about your third or fourth game. But, man, what more could you ask for a guy that's – what is he leading the SEC in QBR or close to it?
Pass efficiency,
yeah. Pass efficiency,
yeah, top five sure in the is. Country.
And it's just, I mean, it's amazing to see that, and to know that guy was on the bench is just mind blowing. But love it,
John Pennington.
Yeah, I think he can. You know, at this point, I don't know that I would, you know, put my money or even our imaginary Cavaliers line money on it, but. It's certainly a possibility. I think, and the main thing is his touchdown interception ratio. You know, those first couple of weeks, the ball wound up on the turf an awful lot in terms of fumbles. He's cleaned that up, mm-hmm. and then he's only thrown one pick since he's been in there, and that was in the Pitt game, I guess. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't thrown a pick since he's been prepped as the starter each week.
Yeah.
That's impressive. You continue to take care of the football, you're going to win more games. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely possible. I think it's going to be tough to maintain a 13-1 or 15-1, whatever it is, touchdown interception ratio. But, I mean, most coaches are happy with 2-1. You're 13-1 at the moment. That said, even though it's going to get – you're going to throw some picks, as long as he's not tossing them all over the place, yeah, I like your chances of possibly getting to 7 wins.
John Wilkerson, I was before the year. I was 6-6, leaning to 5-7. Now I'm 6-6, leaning to 7, because of Hooker. What do you think? Can Hooker get him to 7?
Yeah, I definitely think that Tennessee has put itself in that position. And now the one thing that continues to climb not only is the optimism, but also the injuries. And again, if Tyon Evans is not available, then I really think that it makes it a much higher hill to climb for the Volunteers. But the way that Hendon Hooker has played, which is what the question was, I think he is so comfortable in this role. And I think now it's all about looking forward. Instead of perhaps wondering, am I the guy? If that guy gets healthy, am I not the guy? I mean, I think he knows it's his team, and I think he's playing that way. And I also think it's really neat that you have seen Evans, who also transferred in, and Peyton, who transferred in. You've got so many guys that are playing their first year at Tennessee, and yet they are all playing like they've been here along with everybody else every step of the way. And that's another testament to Heupel.
Daniel, teams that play up-tempo, they practice against it every day, pretty much.
Yes, sir.
And that held true when Ole Miss played Arkansas, and it was 52-51. So if you practice against an up-tempo offense, does that really help you, or does it matter?
I don't think it matters until you get to that junior-senior year because, of course, Butch Jones' first year, an up-tempo offense, of course, nowhere close to the ballpark that these guys are doing. But when we walked into Oregon and those guys went up-tempo, it was crazy. And I remember even playing it, and I remember looking back at that film like, what was I doing on that play? And I was just holding the block because that was my goal. And we only had four defenses in, but the speed was so fast that it just overwhelmed your thinking. And so when you're going to that level of speed, unless they're practicing at that warp speed that they call it, I don't think it's going to help them.
John Pennington, we've seen the over-under as low as 78, as high as about 85, or if you go Chucky C note, 92.
That's the reason everybody went under on my show.
Yeah. So if you put it at 82, over or under, what do you think?
Over. I would take the over on 82. Now, that is a decision I made earlier this week with Evans still questionable. If Evans doesn't go, then I think I might go under. But let's assume he plays. He tries to get out there and plays. I would go over. Now, 92? I would go under. I think it's going to be somewhere between like 80 and 90 points.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I expect it to be. And here's the thing. Even if Tennessee goes out there, if you don't have Evans, but you lose a high-scoring game like that, I know it's Lane Kiffin, but I hope that doesn't pop the balloon. I hope people realize, I mean, they got some special stuff going on in the stadium tomorrow. Mm-hmm. As Daniel said, this AD and staff, they're making changes every week. They're improving things. I hope people look at it and go, you know what, this is a lot more fun than losing 20-7. If you lose. If you win, then, hey, party.
Yeah.
But if you lose and it's a 42-35 kind of game, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world considering what Josh Heupel inherited. So, yeah, I think 80 is certainly possible, and I think if it hits 80 and it's even close, you know, 60 to 20, there's no reason to be happy. But if you're looking at a 42-35 game, I wouldn't be hanging my head walking out of there. That's entertaining at the very least.
Daniel, Tennessee's had trouble with dual-threat quarterbacks, in particular Emory Jones. How do you think they'll fare against Matt Corral?
I think it's going to be a tough game. I think they're going to give up a lot to him. And even that 92 number, I think I'm on the crazier side of taking over on that, because I think Matt Corral is going to have a great game. I mean, he's still in the Heisman talk, but I think that his play is going to be incredible. I hate to say that because they're coming in and playing us, but hopefully we can get a few interceptions, a few things like that. But he's going to have a good game against our defense.
Well, I think, you know, Kiffin is a very good offensive mind, very good offensive play caller. You know, he looked at what Florida did.
Mm-hmm.
Their only success running the football was in design runs with the quarterback. I would assume he's going to have a lot of that lined up for Tennessee. So my guess is they're going to have a hard time. But heck, they had trouble with Pitt when the quarterback scrambled around a little bit. So I think that Corral does have a big game tomorrow. Whether Hendon Hooker can have as big a game, you know, that's your question. But I would be surprised if Tennessee's able to all of a sudden shut him down, and I think he's going to be good not only with his arm, but it's certainly his leg.
Yeah. I think the only chance they have there is maybe we get a Jeremy Banks suplex that puts him out.
Yeah, maybe Heupel can teach him to, like Kiffin, go out there and break his jaw. That's it.
Well, and then if he does that, he'll get to stay in the game, I think, rather than the coach saying, if he has another penalty, we're taking him out.
Right.
Yeah. John Wilkerson, sellout, first time since 2017. How big of an impact do you think the crowd will make Saturday night?
I think it certainly can. And I think that if Tennessee can either keep them off the scoreboard early or score early, this is going to give it a chance to perhaps impact this game, maybe the way we saw Kentucky's fans impact its game against Florida, just make it so difficult for them to communicate. Now, you were also talking that there's a lot of thought that Ole Miss is going to be very well represented in terms of hitting the secondary market. But still, at most, you're talking maybe 10, 12,000 Ole Miss fans as opposed to 90,000 Tennessee fans. I think a fast start for Tennessee, and it could be on for the entire night. But there's a chance for this to be a home field advantage like it hasn't been in quite some time.
Daniel, you played with some big crowds at Neyland. You played on the road with big crowds. Talk about the impact that a crowd can have on a team.
Dude, there's nothing more that gets you jazzed up, especially at home, playing in front of a crowd. The 40-year when they had game day here with Herb Street and all of them, dude, there was nothing like it. And just hearing that crowd, I mean, on defense, we couldn't communicate calls. And I was always responsible with Big Dan, making sure, hey, Big Dan, you're in three technique here. And I'd be whispering, you know, face mask to ear hole. And just fans had done an incredible job. Their offensive line had puzzled looks in their face. And as a defensive lineman, like, that's when you're getting ready. Like, oh, I got an offensive lineman doesn't know what he's doing. Perfect. and then, of course, like, throughout the game, there's always going to be moments. You're always going to get tired when that fatigue sets in. You either need to manufacture some excitement or fall back on what you did in the summer. And sometimes you got to manufacture it. But when you got to a stadium that's singing, that's going crazy, and that's what carries you through that. Sometimes the next day you don't even realize that you can't walk because you ended up playing so much more than what you actually had in the tank just because those fans carried you. And so the fingers crossed that this isn't a six-hour game tomorrow night so the fans can keep it there the whole time because the guys are going to need it.
Yeah, I'm hoping no more than 4 hours.
Yeah,
I'm expecting that. So. All right, when we come back, we will pose this question. If Tennessee wins, it would be their biggest win since when?
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. This is the Pigskin Panel. It's brought to you by Phoenix Conversion.
And our panelists are VFL Daniel Hood and John Pennington with The Sports Source. If Tennessee is able to beat number 13-ranked Ole Miss, Daniel, this would be Tennessee's biggest win since
2016 Florida. Simply there. When they had Josh Dodge came back, I think it was 26 unanswered. If they can come in, beat this one to give yourself some massive momentum needed going into Alabama, that's huge, especially for a first-year coach.
John Pennington.
That's where I was going to go. I mean, you could say that Jeremy Pruitt's upset of Auburn You could say the game that came after that Florida win, which was the Hail Mary at Georgia, which, you know, Tennessee, you just, that's one that's going to remember. You're going to have in the record books, you're going to remember it forever. You don't win games on Hail Marys. But the Florida game was here. The Florida game snapped a streak. Florida's the team you hate. The crowd was into it. Well, crowd got into it as Tennessee showed up. I think it would be their biggest win since that Florida game in 2016. I agree with Daniel 100%.
John?
Yeah, I think I would just make it 3-for-3. I mean, it just because for everything that you talked about, the fact that it was a home game, that it, that it was, and they also managed to shake off what was a really bad start and storm back in the second half. But you had the crowd. It's your only victory when they've checkered Neyland.
Didn't think about that. I actually went with Georgia because it put you in the top 10. But I'll rescind that because I was wrong.
Okay. Peer pressure has gotten to
that's right. I'm succumbing to this.
Have a smoke.
It's that positive momentum. We've all got
man,
it.
Man, I am done for the day. Daniel, in regard to recruit, you were a recruit. How big of a impact would it have on recruiting if Tennessee wins it?
Oh, this is huge. If you're someone that didn't grow up in this area and didn't have the orange blood running through it, and you're on the fence and you're wanting to play for a team that is going to get your TikTok, going to get your Instagram famous, going to get your Twitter, you see what Tennessee's about to do with the light show. You see what the offense is doing, the highlights they're about to make tomorrow night. That right there, that's going to be, man, I can make some money off my TikTok. So that would be it.
I'm just from another planet. I might as well be a Cro-Magnon.
Fire bad.
Yeah. TikTok money. What?
I'm going to go up there with William Shatner and not come by. Yeah. I want to ask you, that you mentioned John Pennington, the TFLs versus the SACs a little bit earlier. What would you rather have? Would you rather be ranked higher in TFLs or ranked higher in sacks?
Both. I'd rather split it down the middle. Well, I mean, the TFL is pretty impressive, but let's face it, a sack throws a team way back. I mean, that is really a drive killer, as you saw in the second half last week for Tennessee when everyone was going nuts. Three of those drives ended basically because sacks shut down those drives. Tackle for loss, you know, you're talking 1-2 yard loss. Sack, 7-8 yards back, that's a different ballgame.
Could be 2 or 10.
You would think that a sack would be bigger than just your average TFL. Yeah. So I would rather have the sacks because that's more of a momentum killer, that's more of a drive killer. Still, though, not looking a TFL gift horse in the mouth, I'm impressed that Tennessee's doing what they're doing. But, yeah, I wish they had a better pass rush this year.
Daniel, a couple of keys for Tennessee against Ole Miss.
Whether the storm on offense as a defense, you're going to give up some points. That guy on the other side is good. That quarterback that you're playing is legit. The offensive line is good. So you got to weather that. And I think that what Tennessee should have been practicing this week on defense is really going to be your red zone offense. You need to play that bend and don't break defense. If you're giving up stuff in the middle of the field, you can hold Ole Miss to field goals on offense, you're going to have a chance to really win this game with what your offense has been doing, because Ole Miss's defense is suspect. So defense, or red zone defense, is my number one key to the game this week.
John Pennington.
I think one of the keys is the fans. I think they have a real opportunity not just to help carry this team, as Daniel talked about, with everything that's going to be going on in that stadium tomorrow, but also you got recruits in there. And this is a big – so this is one where – if the game doesn't go the way you'd like, you know, I wouldn't be booing what you had last week. This would be one where you can show recruits, we support you win or lose. Show us a good game. Show you're making an improvement. Show that the future is bright, and I'm going to be behind that. I think you could make that kind of a statement tomorrow and really help the program in terms of recruiting. Maybe I'm overstating it. But also, you know, take care of the football. Simple, easy. I always go back to turnovers. It's the biggest stat in sports. Take care of the football, and your chances of winning go way up. If you can force some turnovers from Matt Corral and the rest of the Rebels,
you got a big chance.
You got an opportunity to win this ball game. So, turnovers.
John, what can we look forward to on Sunday?
We'll be breaking down what happened in Kiffin versus Heupel 1. That'll be Let's see. Daniel Hood, Marlon Walls, Sterling Hinton. Who am I forgetting?
Is Will Overstreet back, or is
Will Overstreet should be back, and then we got Jimmy. We've got Chuck Cavalieris, Bob Hodge, Josh Ward, and I'll be there in my big top hat as the ringmaster.
That's right.
So that's 90 full minutes. We usually cover 15 to 20 topics in that time frame. So you can watch us on WATE TV6 or WATE.com. They had some issues last week, but we should be live online for anybody who's not in the area.
John Pennington, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Daniel Hood, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you all.
That's going to do it for the Pigskin Panel, and again brought to you by Phoenix Conversions, East Tennessee's truck accessory superstore. When it has to be the best, Phoenix Conversions. Coming up, hour number 4 of Sports Talk. A lot coming your way before we step aside for high school football, and it starts with your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6. Stay with us on 99.1, The Sports Animal.